Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 111, Episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah!
A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers and their Koch industries, and fuck Fox News. It's Friday, December 6, 2019. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Dig Squirrels O'Brien. Dig Squirrels. A Jack O'Brien. Jack O'Brien. That is courtesy of the Four Seasons and just TDZ, aka's Trike Gang. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Hey, baby, I hear the Zeitgeist calling. Jack O'Brien and Miles of Gray. Quite stylish, and I don't even know the rest of the words. Other words, but fuck the Cokes and Fox News. Yeah, baby, they got you pegged.
I don't even, is that the same melody? I just know the first part.
Yeah, no, I think you nailed it.
Anyway, the first part definitely nailed. Shout out to No Gods, No Masters, No Idols at Lamat. I don't know. This, it's hard. Lamat Ike, Matike 6'5". Totally fucked it up, but you know who you are.
I think that was perfect, actually.
Oh, okay. So you know each other.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
For sure. I can't believe that song didn't launch Kelsey Grammer's recording artist career more than it did.
I think that's...
I would have expected a concept album after that.
The woman who married him that was on Real Housewives says that was the moment she fell in love.
Really?
No.
Hey, baby, yeah.
I'm glad to introduce a guest that we're thrilled to have in our third seat. He is the hilarious comedian, Mr. David Huntsberger.
Hello, fellas.
Hello. Welcome. David.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Nice to be back. I was in Boise. Mm-hmm. I'm going to remember to say hello to Sarah. I was standing near the bar at the venue, and this girl came over and said, like, hey, can I get you a drink? I was like, oh, I'm good, thanks. And then she goes, I'm Sarah, Zeit Gang.
Hell yeah.
And it took me a second. I was like, what
the fuck?
Oh, right. I was trying to picture, I was like, does she work there? I was trying to picture all the people that have been,
you know, Zeit Gang.
Yeah.
Yo, Yeah, we need to have a, you know, the Watchmen, like the Cyclops hand gesture that they use
wild,
to like,
yeah,
we need to have like a hand gesture that is like Zeitgang, so people can just walk up and like really confuse the fuck out of our guests when they're on the road.
Get it tatted on your throat.
Yeah.
Is that how forehead. You encourage them to reveal themselves to people? Is just say their name and
I
then
think
Zeitgang?
It's just something that arose she organically. Just,
shout out to our one Dutch listener who did get it tatted.
Yeah.
Bowie. I'm pretty sure that's your display name. I'll follow you. I'll see you out there getting that ink. You know what I mean? It looks lecker, as they say.
Somebody got baby yoga tattooed, I think.
Baby yoga?
Yeah.
Oh, no. You should.
I believe that actually happened.
Who's holding a white claw? Baby Yoda in the tattoo. Yeah. Oh, baby Yoda? Oh, they got that tatted? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's tight.
That is super tight. And also has... no expiration date. It is evergreen. You'll be telling your grandkids about White Claw and Baby.
Yeah, you'll be Yoda. Saying that was Yoda from Star Wars. You're like, they edited it out to, you know, erase his White Claw past.
Can I just say that I saw, like, I heard there was this big meme about Baby Yoda. I was like, you know, people were talking about it nonstop for like a week. And then I finally saw a picture and I wasn't that impressed.
Oh, go away.
Really?
I love Baby Yoda.
Really? Like, you think it's, like, really cool looking?
I think the difference is the way it's revealed when you watch The Mandalorian is what you go, what the fuck?
Right.
And then you're like, yeah.
Right.
Baby Yoda. I mean, I get if you're just looking at it and you're not actually seeing it on video because it has a lot of mannerisms and affects that make it Baby Yoda.
Right. It just looks more like a toy to me than other, you know, of those... Henson type.
Oh, like a Muppet?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I still...
Like, real Yoda looked more lifelike. I think it's dead black eyes.
Yeah, it has shark eyes.
Yeah, like, it has shark eyes.
Is it half that spiky hair? Like,
no, that's an edit to, so it looks like Guy Fieri.
Oh.
Or, I'm sorry, Guy Fieri.
Fieri.
Well, Anna is dead laughing at that. It's a legit dude.
Yeah, because he has a soul patch too, and I totally was like, well, yeah of course see? He'd have facial hair.
The Ewoks are weird looking. I don't know.
Right.
Well,
that
baby would be so wild.
Can't get over that.
That's really what people think, baby. You know what? For the uninitiated, start showing people that picture of Baby Yoda. You're like, what you think, man?
Baby Yoda is like 50 years old or something like that.
It's
Baby
not
Yoda's in his
50s. It's crazy that they would have designed it that way.
With
the like spiky hair and laughing. The soul patch. She fucking got you, man. You look like
town.
Such an idiot.
Favorite town this is.
I really got... God damn it.
Favorite town this is. Oh, shit. All right, let's talk about a couple of the things we're talking about, and then we're going to get to know you a little bit better, David. First off, Miles had his suspicions confirmed. Justin Timberlake.
He was misbehaving.
Miles has never trusted that man.
Misbehaving.
Yeah, and he had to apologize for that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about some mental health experts weighing in, 350 of them, no less, weighing in on how Trump's brain seems to them. Judge Napolitano thinks Trump will testify, which that would be interesting.
That would be the television event we deserve.
Right.
As we watch this thing burn in flames.
Bernie is getting some pretty strong polling data out of colleges and the minor insignificant state of California, and it's being... not covered, so we'll check in with those numbers. The Clintons visited Epstein's baby cloning ranch in New Mexico, and almost
again?
Yearly.
Oh, not like now.
No. We just never covered it the first time we were going to talk about it. Nancy Pelosi lost it on this Sinclair reporter.
Yikes.
We're going to talk about McDonald's attempt to keep up with the Popeye Joneses. A deep cut for NBA fans. We're going to talk about the Legends of the Hidden Temple Star Wars TV show that might be coming to us on Disney Plus, and the new Star Wars ride that is opening at Disney World Land. Both of them?
World. I think World is first.
World first. Yeah. Yeah. Yesterday, I think it opened.
Yeah. I almost don't want to talk. I mean, I might leave the room when you talk about it.
Okay.
Because I don't, I want to experience it just straight through my soul.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. You can just
plug your ears and
I'll plug my ears.
Yeah.
Dan is in the booth with wacky eyes like he's a dubstep DJ about to do the sickest drop on the Gobi 10 at Coachella 2012.
But first, David, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh, shit. I forgot that was one of them. And I mentioned in the past, I realize why my search history is so boring is I don't like getting ads.
Yeah.
You know, targeted at me. So yeah. I mostly just look at like traffic and the weather and things like that.
Do you ever search fake stuff to throw them off the scent?
I used to.
Yeah.
Like, lawnmower.
But then you still get those ads. I don't need those lawnmower
ads.
Yeah,
that's true.
Wait, so then do you just know everything?
No,
you'd be like, hey, can you search this?
I'm trying to think, I'll do it like through the maps function. So I'll look on the map and then search.
You know they're still getting that data.
They're still getting it, but they don't seem to target it to me in ads as much.
Yeah, it doesn't follow you across the internet.
Yeah, if you go to just uncut Google, they're like, we got you. Mm-hmm. So then I'll search stuff through, when I'm at home on the computer, I'll do it in like a private browser, I feel like that got a negative connotation. Be like, oh, using a private, what are you looking up, porn?
No, I'm trying to not get aggressively targeted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what's the other one? DuckDuckGo?
DuckDuckGo is one.
Oh, really?
That's like, if for the precise reason you're talking about, I hear a lot of people use DuckDuckGo.
Okay. Yeah.
What kind of phone you got there, guy?
Key 2, BlackBerry. Whoa. Coming back, baby.
I was like, you got the physical keyboard? Odd 3?
That actually, it looks like a movie set in the future where they're like creating iPhones. Or like it was filmed 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was set in the modern day because it has buttons on the bottom.
Correct.
Like it has a full-on keyboard.
And then you see that and you realize that you miss it to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And who's watching? I guess some people are watching full videos on their phone and they need a giant screen. I don't find myself doing that much or really engaging with a ton of media.
I've never been like, man, I wish my phone was bigger for this video. Like the phone screen has been a fine size to watch video in your hand for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've thought it was fine size since the TI-82. That's plenty.
You're watching video off of there?
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. couldn't you like make animations on that?
Like ASCII porn?
Yeah. Or no, you could play that snake game.
Is
that how you say ASCII? Right?
ASCII?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Man,
you're
not initiated, bro. Just for the nerds.
I am
out
not.
There.
What is something you think is underrated?
Romania. I traveled and did some vacationing in Romania.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful place. Just highly, highly recommend Romania. Oh, and Golden Beets, the food.
Okay.
Also very underrated.
Why?
Also good name for a record label.
Yeah.
Oh, what's different about Golden Beets versus our traditional dye your hands purple beets?
What I'm assuming is the number one allure of it is not a terrifying thought that you're going to die if you see the remains in the toilet.
Right.
And that's got to be appealing.
Yeah,
and secondly,
remains of the day.
It tastes a little crisper or lighter, something like that. There's just a little, like beets. There's that nice earthy taste, but then it also, you got to do some chewing.
It's a little tasteless, too.
Oh, come on.
I don't know. Every time I have beets, I'm always like, the flavor is not really imposing itself on the rest of the dish. It's like has a sweetness to it, but I could never be like, there's that good old beet taste. beet flavor.
That's my favorite kind of candy. Beet flavored candy.
Beet flavored. Yeah. Just
vaguely sweet. Yeah.
I always felt like when Pee-wee Herman gave Francis that gum that like leaps over, that Beets had a hand in that.
Mr. Francis is taking a bath. That's my favorite line in that movie.
That bathtub imprinted itself on me.
Oh,
so
hard,
man.
Fucked me up.
Oh, my God.
Incredible.
The way he's fucking around with all the toys.
If I went to someone's house that had an infinity pool, I would only be thinking, what do you got indoors? Do you have a big-ass bathtub?
And is Mr. Francis taking a bath? That's
what
odd
size
job
are
from
these
James
floating?
Bond.
They had like cruise ships.
Yeah,
they were his play toys.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Enormous. And Romania, what's something that we might not expect about Romania that you found was dope there?
Besides the fact that IKEA is aggressively deforesting the fuck out of it. The deforestation there is absurd.
There's a conscientious push to keep certain parts of their culture alive. As you know, they're 1989, they came out of communism.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so they're aggressively trying to catch up, and people trying to establish whatever they their freedom, their ability to make as much as they want to make, which comes with its own, like, oh, we do that here, and it's pretty cutthroat.
Mm-hmm.
You see people, like, a whole family go by on a horse and cart in Romania all the time.
Oh, really?
Like, on the side of the freeway, people zooming by, and then just a family, like, hauling some wood with a horse. But they're always all together. It's always, like, the whole family. So you're seeing the two things kind of compete with each other.
Right.
This advanced, unchecked capitalistic world, and then also, like, you know, you can just get by
cart,
with, like,
yeah, cart style.
Yeah, cart style, burning some wood, the living off the land, the, yeah, everything there seemed really fresh and well taken care of. And I guess that's maybe something people wouldn't, yeah, know about it, and it's cool to see. Like, everything we have here is, like, kind of IKEA, because it's put it together quick, get out, yeah, there. It's going to be broken in 2 years. It's a pile of garbage.
Exactly, and then throw it out.
And they have, yeah, they have these old houses that are, like, Saxon-influenced, Germanic. They're beautiful. Everything's carved and, like, ornately detailed.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I think when so you have a little
real
more time.
Craftsmanship.
Yeah. Huh?
No, it's funny. Last night I was watching that documentary series, Broken. And I specifically, just for whatever reason, of all the topics, there was one about all those dressers, those, like, IKEA dressers that were falling over on kids. And part of, like, the way they were talking about the evolution of IKEA design was going to, like, they were talking about how old school furniture was just heavy as fuck.
Yeah.
So you would never, this is, like, a new phenomenon, but because a lot of the stuff that IKEA does is just particle board and pressed wood and things like that, that it's lighter, so it causes more tip overs.
Right.
And then one of the sources of a lot of that wood is Romania. And they were talking to this activist who's there, is like, yo, they're wilding out here. Like, they're fucking up, like, a lot of logging in general, not just IKEA, happens in Romania.
Yeah.
And it was so beautiful. Like, when you saw these, like, forests, and then they were just showing these huge patches of, like, earth that had just completely been,
yeah,
like, kneecapped by deforestation.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe you want to check it out.
Go what? Check it out. I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Romania's gorgeous.
That sounds dope. What is something you think is overrated?
Oh, man, this all ties in together.
Mm-hmm.
Red beets.
Two things. tall, bro-mania. Thin. No, I'm going with tall, thin, blonde women. I just had it. And then for whatever reason.
I feel attacked.
Not that there's anything wrong with tall, thin, blonde women, but I'm glad to see they canceled the Victoria's Secret walking show or whatever,
right,
they finally did.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, it didn't happen this year. This is,
oh,
the first,
yeah,
year.
Oh, yeah, around this time, yeah.
It was trickling down. Finally, they're like, people don't care. And they kept, I think, just pretending that that was an aesthetic that all guys got together and talked about. Like,
right.
Yeah, but have you seen this one?
Yeah.
And I never
you
heard.
You seen this tall, thin, blonde woman?
Look how thin she is.
Yeah.
Which and one? What's her name? I don't know. We call her number 338.
Right. I think actually Barstool Sports had a day off of just mourning because they canceled the Victoria's Secret show.
I mean, really?
That's crazy.
It's like, yeah,
I'm sure that
it feels, yeah, like something.
And then I think the queen, and nothing against her, Taylor Swift seems like a fine person, but very overrated. Artist of the decade, stop it. Get out of here.
Who's the artist of the decade?
I just feel like you can't have people like Stevie Wonder and Madonna and Whitney Houston and people that I don't remember them getting recognized for artist of the decade at any point. And
right.
I feel like we can't just start now. You need to do like a retrospect. Go back and give it to people who did it for a long time, who've been out there touring forever, rather than, oh, and how many mega hits that you like, any idiot will be like, I know, Shake It Off. And then what else? And I am that idiot. I'm like,
right.
I don't know how many super hits she really has had.
Yeah. Hey, man, it's because popular culture is leaving you behind.
Man. It is. It always has been, though. I was never a part of it, even when I was of the right
age. In
the
demographic.
Yeah, yeah. I was young and just like, I like Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Artist of the decade, 1970s?
Yeah,
would they
sure
have been?
Should have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that derailed their career, not getting that award. You know, it's just that recognition would have done it all. They,
yeah. What about Frankie Beverly?
They're
and
still
Maze
doing it.
Would have been actually played at weddings if they had gotten that recognition.
Mm-hmm.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true? You know to be false.
Ties back into this. People have said it so much now that there's like a comfort in repeating it, which is there's no such thing as selling out anymore. That's what people who sell out say.
Right.
You absolutely can still sell out.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift, again, doing commercials for her album on fucking Capital One.
Right.
Stop it. At some point, we have to step in and go like, enough. You've lost all artistic credibility. Go fuck yourself. So there are people out there that are not selling out. There's just no one talking about them. And then the people that do sell out like that, we've gotten so used to it that it's so competitive now that you either get in and like, oh, good for my friend. They got an ad. They got a spot in this AT&T commercial.
Right.
They're going to be able to pay their rent.
Right.
It's so competitive that, oh, who cares that they, you know, tied into a company that's aggressively behind net neutrality and restrictions and you can still sell out.
Yes.
And so I feel like it's a myth saying that you cannot. We just don't call people out on it as much anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think now in like max revenue culture, it's just like, well, you're securing the bag.
Right.
That's what we call it now.
And people are familiar with all the things that these companies are doing, branding, et cetera. So people will watch an ad that's specifically targeted them, like, that was pretty good. That was pretty great.
Yeah.
You're going to use my information, sell it to other companies, then market that right back to me. Nice one.
Right back to you.
I hope you'll buy my song.
I think that's a good point, though, that it, like, back, you know, I talk about how I remember a time like late 80s, early 90s when selling out was a thing. Like Nirvana got popular and people were like, well, they're not cool anymore because
they're popular.
Because they're popular and they're signed with a huge label. But now that everything, like just all the, you know, safety nets have been taken away and like capitalism is just this like fucking free for all where people like don't have healthcare. I think people are maybe a little bit more sympathetic, but the answer isn't to just be like, yeah, well, I mean, this is our new normal. We, you know, the answer would be to put some of those safety nets back.
Yeah. Well, I think when it really becomes disingenuous is when you can tell like their position on things begin to change because of that alignment with certain companies or things like that, or they still talk as if there is something like revolutionary about the things they do. I had this problem when like the Yeezus album came out with Kanye. He was like, what's, you know, it's like this new slavery thing and like I'm trying to change how the music business works. And it's like, your tour is sponsored by AEG. Like, if you want to do some revolutionary, like, find a way to subsidize your shows and make it free for other people. But it's like, that's when it starts being like, see, like, I don't, what is it though? Which one is it?
You also just hate that album.
Come fight me. I don't like it. I don't like it. It's more that I think, look, and I've talked about this all the time. It was the beginning really of the end in terms of like where he started to see himself as an artist.
Yeah. I agree with everything you're saying, but Taylor Swift's partnership with UPS around the launch of her Reputation album was top-notch.
I think we can all agree on that.
And, I mean, obviously the AT&T series that she did, that was obviously exclusive to DirecTV,
yes.
I think was fantastic too.
Right.
Especially
they're just playing to each other's strengths and highlighting things that are fully authentic about both brand and artist.
I think when you look at AT&T, it's a storied history about dependability and a way to actually spread a message very quickly. And that's a similar thing with Taylor Swift's music. That's why we're really excited to be partnering with such a powerhouse artist.
Right. What is there something wrong with connecting people? I'm sorry.
I certainly don't think so. Connecting our world?
Yeah.
But in a room, there are people spouting these same exact scripts and meaning it.
Yeah.
Genuinely convincing. This is just going to be so great.
Well, it's just like it's at a certain point when your job is basically built off of like, how do I extract as much revenue out of something? Like, it's not even, you just have to say words that that really the truth is, how the fuck do we make a ton of fucking money out of this?
Right.
But let's use these other marketing terms to whatever.
Yeah. I wonder, like, after we're out of this era, like, how much that is going to taint, like, the people who are famous now. Like, I think about Jay-Z, who, you know, just had this NFL thing, but he's always been, like, the, like, arch capitalist who, like, you know, is making it work and aligning himself with huge brands. And, like, will, because this period of American culture is marked by the advertising industry just infiltrating literally every person's like entire existence and brain. Like, will we look back on Jay-Z and be like, man, that dude was like the same way we kind of look back on Jordan and are like, he kind of like,
what do you mean, like that we would somehow get what he's doing?
No, that it would be like diminished because he is so like corporate.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, look, as I sit here on my Casper mattress right. by Amazon,
yeah,
brought to you by everything else.
Did you get that mailed to you through stamps.com? You were in some MeUndies?
Stamps.com, dude. Where I got my MeUndies on. But that's what's funny, too. Like, even thinking about this show, right? Like,
right.
That we are also part of this machine, too, where you have advertising and things like that. I think the one benefit is, like, we have the ability to say yes or no to certain things.
Right.
And also, we've never had a thing that's like, look, if you do something with this, you got to knock off the political, you got to knock off the anti-corporate shit.
Right.
It's like, yeah. I don't know, dude.
It's kind of part of the whole deal.
Hey, but I can't wait to sell the fuck out, man. Yeah. Wait till I'm like, there's like something terrible happens in the news. I'm like, I don't know, man. Joe Biden, I think we need to go easy on my man. He's done a lot.
I used to think that someone who eschewed all of it, abstained, didn't, you know, had a library card and that was it, didn't go on the online at all, didn't even have an email account maybe.
Right.
The future will progress to a level where all of us are in a room in VR helmets and then we hologram ourselves in a bubble out into the forest and we see this person that we like went to high school with, right. And we're above them and they look up rubbing sticks together. Right. They're all dirty.
They're like, get away!
And we'd be like, what are you doing, man? Everyone's having fun in there.
Get in your pod. Right.
They'd be like, get away! And then something would pop up in our bubble. It's like, to access more of this experience.
Content, right. Yeah, go to Grubhub.
Then you have to take a survey. And like, okay, anyway, what were you saying, man? But then I also think in that situation, that person's alone. Their life, maybe they should have just joined the hive and been a part of the whole grid system.
Yeah.
But then I think it won't be that much of a stretch for AI to catalog and database everything ever said and even recognize it through voice or characteristics of speech pattern to then have a Miles database where everything you've ever said. So if you in any way try mm-hmm. to publicly go out and say, I don't think I've ever spoken out against that. Yep. And then just pull up instantly.
Get the fuck out of my face.
Yeah.
Accountability algorithm.
I mean, Twitter already does that sort
yeah,
of.
In a
like
way.
When
yeah.
somebody gets enough attention, they're mm-hmm. just like, okay, and let's go.
Command
through.
F.
Yeah.
So then the bigger system at large, AI as we know it, learning, oh, this is how humans did it. This is how they search, just applying those exact same things. But even like segments from a podcast that you did, all those bytes are there. They exist. So mm-hmm. it doesn't even have to be typed. It's everything you've ever said that is in the digital space.
Yeah.
Man.
I'll fuck up my AI created self if they try and do that shit. Watch. Whoa, boy. I've been doing a lot of fake searches to throw the algorithm off, though.
Yeah,
nice. You got to stay ahead of them.
The documentaries are going to be good, though, because there's going to be so much material on everyone.
God, yeah,
that's true.
Like, nobody's made that documentary that's like post iPhone, where it's just like, yeah, so this person, we have literally everything that's ever happened to them because they were shooting it all.
Ugh.
Do you think that could be the future of like mosques and mausoleums and things that, you know, they already have picture frames now that are, you know, can display multiple pictures. You go up and like press your thumb and it just runs through their whole life, videos and photos.
Right.
Yeah. So you just walk through a mosque and like, cool, and go to the next one. Oh, that was a cool life.
You're like, wow, this person was in Vegas a lot. Whoa. Damn. The fuck?
That could be like
getting all judgmental.
The future like sort of artist economy is like making documentaries about like random people's lives as like their obit.
Give me your iCloud password and I'll make you like a magnum opus based on photos.
It sucks that we will miss that older generation that had one photo. Here's us with the hogs.
Looking stoic as fuck because like the technology is like, I got to leave the shutter open for a long time. So if you move, it's going to be blurry.
Yeah.
Stay the fuck still.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. Miles, you had a feeling things were maybe rocky at home.
I mean, we all saw it.
Justin Timberlake.
We all saw it. We looked at the video. Justin Timberlake was shooting a film, or at the time was in New Orleans, and was hand-holding with his co-star. And he had the vibes that he was grabbing her hand, she was touching his leg. He had those eyes where, like, you know, they're very drunk, and you're like, the DVR stopped recording a few hours ago, so I don't know what you know if you know what you're doing here. And it was like, we were speculating, like, is this, what's happening? Is something going on? And at the time, I thought they were just going to deny everything, but it seems like because of how, you know, straightforward this video stuff was of him, he's now come out. And also because rumors of him cheating, like a constant theme with him, it seems like, he came out with this statement. He says, I stay away from gossip as much as I can, but for my family, I feel it is important to address recent rumors that are hurting the people I love. A few weeks ago, I displayed a strong lapse in judgment, but let me be clear. Nothing happened between me and my co-star. I drank way too much that night, and I regret my behavior. I should have known better. This is not the example I want to set for my son. I apologize to my amazing wife and family for putting them through such an embarrassing situation, and I'm focused on being the best husband and father I can be. I am incredible. I'm incredibly proud.
I'm incredible.
I'm incredible. I'm incredibly proud. I'm incredible. It's going to be me. He's talking about working on the film, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it seems like maybe his own wife was probably like, what the fuck are you up to?
Okay.
No, no. Just so like, you know, got confirmation that he was feeling bad about it.
Right.
Because it looked like anybody who's been drunk and maybe gotten a little too flirtatious when you shouldn't have been, I saw the exact eyes down to the head tilt of how he was drinking out of his glass. When your chin is down.
Yeah.
And you're still sipping with your chin down.
You've literally forgotten how to drink correctly.
Yeah.
This might be just me, but do you guys have a preconceived notion as to how mega celebrities interact with each other and with the opposite sex outside of, you know, their relationship? Because I remember when Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston were together.
Yeah.
There were these photos of Brad Pitt at a Laker game. It was when he had this long beard.
Mm-hmm.
And he was with Catherine Keener. Very similar to these photos, hand holding, hands on the opposite knee. I remember at one point there was video, he went to talk to her and he reached up under and like sort of cupped the opposite side of her head.
Right.
And then leaned in and was talking to her that way.
The side of her head.
The side of her head.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing that and being like, celebrities are just weird.
Yeah.
Like they just, that's not his wife, but I guess that's how they talk.
Yeah.
They have meaningful dinner parties where everyone's doing that as, you know.
I don't know. I think I'm sure being subjected to the treatment that celebrities get over a certain number of years completely fucks up your idea of like where the ground is and what boundaries are or what is accessible or inaccessible to you.
Yeah. Right. And I think you just get so used to being inauthentic that even really not intimate, but authentic type behaviors become sort of rote. You just walk through them like, ah, this is normal, right?
Let me grab this out of your face here real quick. Get in here for a comment about this Lakers game.
He's like,
they
damn,
are not trapping enough.
Damn, Nick Van Exel should stop shooting so much, huh?
Never.
Eddie Jones is looking great.
That's a very good point. And yeah, I'm sure it's got to be hard for Brad, you know, as somebody who just everybody he's interacted with for the past, 30 years?
Yeah, it's probably like,
is just like begging, like with their entire being for him to grab the side of their face.
Right.
Like, I will leave my husband right now for you.
just grab the side of my face.
Yeah. I will leave my wife right now for you.
I will leave my podcast for you, Brad.
A direct quote from what I said. Shouted at his window when he was driving by.
That's how he lost that studio job at that hotel.
Let's talk about the mental health industry is speaking up about their thoughts on what's going on with the president. What are they thinking, Miles?
Well, there's a petition that came out that was signed by 350 different psychologists, mental health experts that are really saying, please consider what is actually happening to him right now from our perspective, because the impeachment proceedings seem to be ramping up his like sort of erratic behavior. The first or one of the first lines says, "We are speaking out at this time because we are convinced that as the time of possible impeachment approaches, Donald Trump has the real potential to become ever more dangerous, a threat to the safety of our nation." And this is from Doctors Bandy Lee, who's a Yale psychiatrist, Gerald Post, a former CIA profiler, and who's also a psychologist, and John Zinner, a psychiatrist at George Washington University. They're like the big names on there, and there are many others. But the things that they're saying that they're worried about was, quote, "What makes Donald Trump so dangerous is the brittleness of his sense of worth. Any slight or criticism is experienced as a humiliation and degradation. To cope with the resultant hollow and empty feeling, he reacts with what is referred to as narcissistic rage. He is unable to take responsibility for any error, mistake, or failing. His default in that situation is to blame others and to attack the perceived source of his humiliation. These attacks of narcissistic rage can be brutal and destructive." And they're saying, like, they're willing to testify to, like, give more texture to what they're talking about or more detail. And they say, "We implore Congress to take these danger signs seriously and to constrain his destructive impulses. We and many others are available to give important, relevant recommendations," blah, blah, blah.
So are they suggesting that the Democrats pump the brakes on the impeachment inquiry?
I don't know what it is. I'm not sure if they – I don't know if they think it should – maybe it'll bolster – the reasons why he may need to be removed from office. It's a weird thing because, A, like, you know, a lot of mental health professionals are like, I've not actually treated this person, so right. I don't want to go out there and be like, this is what I'm seeing. But I think for them, they're like, based on what we know and then the countless accounts from people who work in there, like with his slurred speech, inability to remember things, it's like, and I think just from comparing video from even 2016 and fucking 2017 right. to now, there are moments where you're like, it's definitely the brakes are being depressed
right.
a bit.
Yeah. I mean, when I saw that this was happening, I assumed that that was going to be what they were talking about was just yeah. like slurred speech and stuff. But the stuff that they're talking about, the narcissistic rage, is all stuff that's been pretty obvious to me since before the election, you know?
Right, right, right.
That's like how he's always operated.
I think before, because the language we've all been using is like, he's so insecure.
Right.
And he's being so petty and he's being so reckless.
Yeah.
And they're sort of like, no, when you actually categorize like how what the pattern is, someone holds him accountable or there's a perceived humiliation, goes after that person, relies on absolutely like debunked theories, conspiracy theories, or will just lie about things. They're like, this is a... We see this in a certain type of person.
But, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. To me, it's like it's so apparent to people. I don't necessarily need 350 yeah. mental health experts to be like, right. we think something's wrong.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
I mean, this is why I've always thought his presidency was so terrifying, was because he seemed so
impulsive,
unstable yeah. and impulsive and just easy to have his sense of self-worth threatened. Fortunately, he's like not taken that sort of rage to the international level, but that's when it gets really scary to me.
Right.
Storming off from the NATO gathering was probably right. the first step in that.
Right.
Like, listen, you motherfuckers.
If like the next thing is like we're actually pulling out of NATO, right. that's when you're going to be like, hold the fuck on.
Yeah. Right.
Like, no.
Well, like when Jim Jordan and all these guys go, they're just mad. They're mad because the 2016. Okay. That's what this whole thing is about.
Right.
As if like a sterling, high character individual was put in place and people were just mad about that.
Right.
But there was a very cautious, like, oh, fuck, what's this guy going to do?
Right.
Because he says all this crazy shit. And then when he exhibits that behavior as the president, people are like, oh, okay, our fears were confirmed. We should start circling around this
yeah.
a little.
Yeah, well, it's like they have such a terrible end game they're going towards. Or like, you know, for the Republicans, they can't be critical because his base will just vaporize them, like at the polls, or that they'll invite the wrath of the president, which none of them want. So like they're in this space where like they can't even – they just have to be like, yeah, this is fine. And we're maybe projecting the things we felt about Barack Obama, where we were just like, we don't like this guy. And we reject the result of this election. So we'll obstruct and things like that. But
yeah,
it's, you know, it's a slippery slope.
Yeah. So one thing that might lead to, Judge Napolitano, the Fox News legal expert.
Isn't it crazy, just sorry to interrupt, but that he's on there all the time? Because almost every story that he's attached to is him pushing back and disagreeing with
right.
the Fox
yeah.
crowd.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's their one good, I mean, not good, but like it's their, he's been their main legal analyst forever.
Right.
He was like a New Jersey Superior Court judge.
Yeah.
You know, the heights of the legal system.
Right.
Shout out to New Jersey. But yeah, because of, I don't know, it is, I think maybe they know it's good to have him there because he's slightly keeping it somewhat reality based, but when you look at, when it turns to the opinion hours at night,
yeah.
like none of them want to talk about him or their guests will come after him. Or I think Tucker Carlson even went after him. So,
right.
yeah.
Well, so he thinks that Trump might testify himself.
In the Senate trial.
At the Senate
yeah.
trial.
Which would be.
That would be something.
What? That makes, yeah. I mean, he probably also thinks he's going to turn over his tax documents. And to me, that just seems so improbable. I would put, just as an outsider with
yeah.
no, I would put the odds of that happening at less than 0.1%.
You'd think because people on his team would be like, you're going to self-own up
right.
there. You will incriminate yourself. You will perjure yourself. Mm-hmm. It's going to be bad.
Yeah.
Right.
So don't actually, that's when you even look at it. You don't even have a president who could go and coherently lie
right.
for 10 minutes or an hour.
I mean,
but then the bigger part of the ego aspect of that is him being like, I don't have to do this shit. I'm above that. I don't need to answer to any of you. I'm your boss.
Well, the thing is, he was recently tweeting after Nancy Pelosi was like, you know, she told Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff to move forward with drafting articles of impeachment. He immediately was like, let's just get it over with then. Let's
yeah.
do it. If you're going to impeach me, let's do it. I'm not fucking afraid of you.
They kept having to throw their bodies in front of him going and talking to Mueller live
yeah.
rather than the. So, I mean,
that's where you
the
see
people
the
around him know that this is not a good idea, but he increasingly and throughout his presidency has been able to just override the people around him and be like, you know, it's my gut. I rule by
especially
the seat of my
you,
pants.
Yeah,
and
when you think of his ego, though, I could see that the one part that entertains the idea that it is possible is that his ego would not allow someone else to testify on his behalf.
Yeah.
Because what Napolitano is saying is, quote, if you go to a Senate trial, who testifies on behalf of the president?
Himself.
Himself. Yeah, he goes, you, and then someone said, you believe that could happen? And his, I do. I think it will be the most dramatic legal political event in the history of our era. Oh.
It would be really rewarding. Even if nothing came of it, just to watch, I think we've all gotten to a point where we like to have this weird rage of, I knew I was right about that. And then
yeah,
nothing
absolutely.
Comes of it. And then you're like, well, but I still feel like
right.
Everyone's got their own facts. So everyone's walking around with that feeling. The way I saw it, I've got it. I had it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, he loves a dramatic moment, though.
Do people in the Fox News bubble think the same thing? Are they like, oh, well, once he gets up there, like, we'll feel vindicated? Like,
that's what they'll say on TV, because that has to be, like, the narrative.
But do you think that, because just in this universe where we're all walking around with our own version of the truth, do you think that there's part of them that still suspects, like, this guy is completely full of shit? And because that is the thing you always hear when someone's like, how could you support this guy? They're like, well, you can't take what he says seriously. You have to just look at what he does and things
well, that's
like that.
Well, because if you're honest and someone says, can you take this guy or what do you think about this guy? You can't say, the second you go, man, he's all over the place.
Right.
Then you go, why would you support him?
Right.
And then you're like, well, and then you have to sort of give up the ghost, like, well, he's a useful idiot.
Right.
Because he's, you know, deregulating the
yeah.
fuck out of everything. Like, Wall Street, there are no breaks on Wall Street right now. There's no protections for the environment right now. There are certain industries that are loving it in terms of their business. And
yeah.
I think that's why they have to say stuff like, you know, we understand he's polarizing, but they're like in the back of their minds, they have just cash boners and they're like, yes, though, this cash, though.
It's the name of our production company, right?
Cash boners.
Cash boners. let's take a quick look at the Democratic primary. There's been a couple good polls, and these are polls that come from within the Kamala Harris campaign.
Yeah, hers that, specifically for California voters, yeah.
Yeah, that Bernie Sanders is sort of on an upward trend, and most other people are on a downward
Yeah, it
trend.
Seems like September was a huge dip for people like Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden. Buttigieg and Bernie are the only people with a little bit of upward movement. But in California, of likely primary voters, Bernie Sanders has overtaken Elizabeth Warren. 24% of likely voters said they would vote for him. And look, there are a lot of delegates in California.
It seems like Mayor Pete is starting to eat a little bit into the Biden-Warren support.
Yeah, when you consider that they're going down and he's going up, there's got to be a little bit of back and forth. And I think also with Bloomberg hopping in too, he's nibbling a little bit away, considering his, I guess, name recognition.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people are like, the channel? Yeah, I'll vote for him. I'll vote for the channel.
Right. Well, is CNN going to run?
Because, yeah. I don't really watch Bloomberg. I'm more of an MSNBC guy.
And then there's a poll with college kids where Biden was leading among this group in April.
And then Warren.
And recently. Then Warren.
Yeah.
And now Sanders has the lead. It's just asking, you know, who would you vote for to all likely to vote college age kids? I think it was like 1,300.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
So Sanders got 22%. Trump got 17%. Warren, 15. Biden, 12. Yang, 9. Buttigieg, 8. So.
I mean, hey, dude, debt forgiveness? I would line up too. Yeah. Bernie. And I'm curious to know what the issues are. Like, how many kids are, obviously the student loan stuff must weigh heavy on every college student, because they're like, I'm going to walk out into the real world with a boulder crushing my spine of debt.
Right.
And how many people, you know, are like woke and trying to, you know, bring the power back to the workers.
Yeah. Just I checked the front page of, you know, CNN, New York Times, to see if anybody was talking about this stuff. And maybe these polls aren't like that relevant.
But I mean, the Axios, the college one is from Axios, so that's pretty mainstream.
And CNN had a Bernie Sanders headline, and that headline was analysis. Hillary Clinton destroyed Bernie Sanders in her Howard Stern interview.
What?
So
when?
Face.
She was on Howard Stern recently?
Yeah, she was on Howard Stern recently and just tore that ass up.
Like, exactly. They're like, hey, Bernie got dunked on by an irrelevant person.
Yeah. It will be interesting to see, though. You know, this is going to be a good test of the Bernie blindness subreddit's theory of the case that the mainstream media is ignoring him. Because, I mean, if he starts, like, ticking up to being tied for first or in the running for first, like, it would be strange for them not to cover that.
Yeah, but I think that's when you'd really see that full-blown, like, corporate bias, where it's like, dude, shut the fuck up about this guy. He's about to eat into my yacht money.
Yeah.
They always said that was why the movie Idiocracy didn't do better. They, you know, they go after Pepsi and Fox News and all these giant companies and then try to get ad space to promote the movie. And they're like, we're good.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Sorry, what's the film about? Oh, no.
Speaking of Hillary Clinton, that also seemed to miss a lot of mainstream news coverage was the revelation from the security expert on Jeffrey Epstein's baby cloning Dick Ranch in New Mexico.
Oh, like where he was trying to impregnate all these women.
Trying to impregnate like a continent of women to and also have his dick frozen.
Wouldn't it be great if we had the AI software in place there where something was listening in those moments? Because we hear talks about like the MIT people that would go or Bill Gates there, and they would leave going, he's got some weird ideas.
Right. Like what those were,
He says he should impregnate every 14-year-old girl on the planet, but the mashed potatoes were exquisite.
So the guy who was in charge of his security there and like technological things, Jared Kellogg, was brought in by longstanding ranch manager Bryce Gordon to improve the security and set up a camera system at the main house, as well as the Cowboy Village. This is something I didn't realize. Jeffrey Epstein's ranch had like an
young girls.
It basically had an Epcot attraction. Yeah, like it had an Epcot attraction of like Old West.
Old pedophile West. Prospector?
Yeah. Those are the good old days.
I'm Dusty Sam, and you're square in the middle of Western Village.
It's like, this is a weird fucking place.
I was saying how cool the replica houses were. This is a quote from
the guy. Oh, I was going to say, what?
Jared Kellogg was new, and he said, I was saying how cool the replica houses were, and the manager of the ranch said, yeah, they're built for guests. It's really cool. The Clintons come out and hang out with Epstein. And then he went on to say that they would hang out with him at least once a year at the ranch every year after Clinton left office. So
people that are good friends in Los Angeles don't see each other once a year.
Exactly.
Yeah. Living in the same city. And are not so busy having just been the president.
Dave, I see you more than my family.
You know that's what I mean? Legitimately true.
Yeah, that's like LA style. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. They live on the west side. I can't be driving out there.
No, the west side is off limits.
What?
And I just moved from the west side. I just had to make new friends.
Yeah. Just cut off all ties. Sorry, I can't talk to you anymore. I'm moving east.
Oh, my God. Is everything okay?
And let's talk real quickly about Nancy Pelosi. She was having a press conference talking about, you know, plans to impeach, where things were going with the impeachment inquiry. And a reporter from Sinclair Media, as she was leaving, asked her, "Do you hate the president, Ms. Pelosi?"
Yeah.
And she just kind of went off on
him. Go off, Catholic queen. Yeah. She came back around and she's like, "As a Catholic, I resent that kind of language."
Yeah. I was raised with love in my heart and a blind, willful denial of children being molested. I'll never acknowledge.
I will tell women of color who are new to the Congress to get in line.
Right.
But I do not have hate in my heart. I pray for the president, if anything. I do not hate him. Blah, blah, blah. She's like, "Don't mess with me on that."
And then stomped, like walked off. It was if it wasn't well orchestrated, or like if she hadn't had a plan to do that, it was pretty impressive.
I think if she looked like Meryl Streep, everyone would acknowledge that she's such a badass.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, she does have... And this is unfair, and it seems so critical to say, but she looks like a stereotypical California older woman. Like
right.
Very Botox and pulled. She's not even really blinking anymore.
Right.
So I think his group, even if what she says is exactly how they feel, there's this inherent bias by looking at her.
Oh, yeah.
That I think
has like the physical presence of what they would consider like if an algorithm created a
right.
liberal woman.
Absolutely.
And what is she, in her 70s?
Mm-hmm.
That's what would come out.
Right, yeah. Absolutely. So they don't really hear her words, because I think, this is just a theory I've been working on.
No, I believe it. We're so, we don't even listen to shit anymore. With like, what's it look? What is the face? What is the gender? What is the race? What is everything? It's like, Yeah, but I think it was, she did a very good job though too, because the whole strategy, that question was born out of Representative Collins in the Judiciary Committee saying like the Democrats are doing this because they hate the president.
Yeah.
Right.
That they have hate in their hearts because they can't actually, if you notice, they'll never actually deny what the president did. So all they've been like, well, it's because they hate the president. They hate America. They hate Constitution. The Constitution's against us. Well, then they hate George Washington.
Right.
I'm a necromancer. Gotta go.
It was kind of weird that she was so after that guy, where essentially what he was doing was giving her a layup to just say, no, we don't hate him. I'm Catholic. Right. Love everybody. And instead she was like, you son of a bitch.
How dare you?
Come after me.
Yeah. I mean, he was clearly trying to create.
He was being so like, well, it's a valid question.
Right.
It's a valid question. I mean, that's what he said. That's what I asked him.
It's like, dude, that's fine.
I'm reading my transcripts. They said you raped dinosaur ghosts. Any truth to that?
It's like, what?
You can't answer a simple yes or no.
And then they said, then right after that, Trump tweeted, I was like, oh, it looked like Nancy Pelosi had a nervous fit. It's like,
what?
Okay.
A nervous fit.
Because she was, I don't know,
is this
like, whatever.
The fucking Jeffrey Epstein's old West town?
Yeah.
She's suffering from nervous fits.
Get her some lithium and laudanum.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take another quick break. We will be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zy Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back.
Get her ether rag.
And
do they still do that? What was that a thing for? Like huffing ether?
Yeah.
That was like an old to put you under, basically?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just got you.
Damn. Yeah, tuberculosis. Tired of coughing?
You got tuberculoso?
The tuberculoso? You'd rather sleep today.
Got tuberculosis.
Rub this sage on your neck. And also huff this ether rag.
Damn. Shout out to anybody huffing ether rags. Old school.
It was only a matter of time, you guys, till McDonald's came out of their scientific lab kitchen with a chicken sandwich.
Oh, yeah. I think earlier this year we were talking about how franchise owners at McDonald's were like, we're getting fucking killed by Chick-fil-A and this chicken sandwich. Like, we got nothing. People fucking hate rat meat burgers. We need the chicken. And now, so they have this is only in a very limited number of markets. So if you're in Knoxville, Tennessee, or Houston, Texas, and you're Zyking, let us know. I actually want to know. They have the Southern-style buttermilk crispy chicken sandwich. Man, they really, it's everything. It's hint of dill. They got a pickle on it.
Ooh.
They buttered the bun. They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They're trying to come after that Chick-fil-A market, and I need to know how bad or good it is.
I mean, so they're going to do this locally. I'll be interested to see if it's one of those things, like with Popeyes, where they roll it out locally because they can't afford to make the sandwich as good as it needs to be on a massive scale.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to remember the last time McDonald's made something that was new, and I was like, hey, you know what?
I do remember when they made something clever.
They had such a weird, like, hardline stance at times that they always cave in on. They go, we've had this menu for 50 years and we'll never have salads. People want salads? Here's 15 salads.
Right. Okay, in a cup, though. It's a McSalad shaker.
A McSalad shaker. Like,
what? And then they finally
just think of it as a milkshake.
Yeah, it's like, no, it's a bunch of old iceberg in a plastic cup. Fuck out of here.
With apples, and when they put that salad on the menu, they became America's largest purchaser of apples.
Oh, like their like little harvesty salad or whatever they had?
They basically created doubled the apple industry.
I'd love to see the meeting when the guy came in, or I assume it's a guy, the CEO of McDonald's comes in and like, all right, we're doing it. They've complained long enough, we're going to make breakfast all the time.
Yeah.
Sick of having people, their entire YouTube streams of comics just laying into the fact that we don't serve breakfast all day. So we're doing it. And then everyone went, this could, our forefathers wanted us to keep the same menu.
Yeah.
And then they
breakfast
changed it.
Should be eaten in the morning.
If there's like McDonald's Constitution originalists,
they just shredded
like,
it. They just ripped it up. And we're new and hip now.
They're like, you're an expansionist.
And no one cared. There were maybe a couple tweets that were like, thanks. But
I started levitating when they brought in all day breakfast.
I felt great too. I felt like
the one thing I eat
phenomenal.
From there.
Yeah,
I've ceased to eat like the daytime food there. I'll eat the fries, and the occasional nuggies, chicky nuggies. Mm-hmm. Don't eat the burgers really, unless I'm feeling really wacky and high. But usually, I'm just eating a bunch of sausage McMuffins with egg. Mm. Okay.
Yep. I don't think you're alone in that.
And then when they doubled it up. Boy, R.I.P. Miles' arteries.
When they doubled up what?
When you could put like two sausage patties, like it was like a behemoth style stacker.
Right.
Yeah.
Woo! They also are, I saw a billboard that showed that they're selling breakfast sandwiches with chicken on it. No.
Ah.
That's a new thing with fried chicken. Chicken breasts.
It just feels a little wrong to put an egg on the chicken.
Yeah.
It's just, you know.
Let's give chickens a little break.
Yeah, they even like drew attention to the fact that it was like, they're like,
oh, it's
well,
like a chicken biscuit?
Yeah, it's like a chicken biscuit.
Oh, there's no egg.
No egg. Oh, and they, the advertisement I saw for it was like, here's a yolk of an idea or something like that. This breakfast sandwich is no yolk. And it was like chicken without the egg, but with the breakfast sandwich bread part. And
biscuit. The biscuit. Muffin. It's funny though.
The McGriddle.
Even though I'm like, oh, that's cool. One of my favorite Japanese dishes is called oyako donburi. And oya means parent and ko means child, like the kanji thing. So it's literally parent and child rice bowl. And it's eggs and chicken.
Oh my God.
So I'm like, what the fuck I'm talking about? Like, we have a dish that's like, man, fuck this whole family rice bowl.
Right. Yeah. I want to make sure they came from the same blood.
Exactly.
All right. Let's talk Star Wars stuff. David, are you a Star Wars guy?
No. I don't live in a great universe in that I think the Beatles are fine. I think Star Wars is fine.
Sure.
And comic books the same way. Everyone running around so elated and over the moon about all these things, I just feel like...
What am I missing?
I got dropped on the wrong planet or something. Right.
What does get you running around? Hopping in.
Lots of stuff. Everything else gets me up to like a 7. But everyone else with those things is at like an 11.
Right. But do you get at an 11 for anything?
I don't know that it's in my nature.
Oh, man.
I mean, they're like...
I mean, that answer tells you.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's in my nature.
To get to
it's
an 11?
It's not an answer you get from somebody who goes to 11.
No.
Have I ever, waited in line right for something? I don't think I have.
I find it to be illogical. Most scales are to 10. To go to 11 would just be superfluous.
Right. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
And they lost... But I did try to watch them, because I like to relate to humans. I want to be able to talk... Oh, yeah.
Okay, Dr. Man. Manhattan. What the fuck? I like to relate to humans.
Hold on, man. This guy's talking all this shit about AI and algorithms. How do you know he's not a fucking algorithm?
That's true.
Chase my blood.
Trying to throw
Watch
us
me
off
bleed.
The oh my God. Right.
Wait, 9-volt batteries are coming out. Oh, it's like that fluid, like Bishop in Alien?
Yeah, exactly.
This is red blood. This is regular blood.
Regular blood. It's unleaded.
Just regular human blood here, fellas. I watched Rogue One, or I watched Jedi.
I'm the Force and the Force with me.
Rogue One, I just had enough of the fucking Death Star and that same storyline over and over. I was so sick of it that they lost me, and I've gracefully bowed out. I have no contempt necessarily, other than it feels like they sailed and kept right on with it. The Mandalorian, as if... Again, going to marketing and all that, people were aware of it, that, boy, Star Wars will make... as much of this shit as we will buy, and they don't really care about the quality. They would make 10 a year if it would make $1 billion each time.
Yeah.
And people are like, we'll take it.
Well, now, Bob Iger, the head of Disney, was like, we're slowing down the Disney shit. Because they realized...
The Star Wars shit?
Oh, yeah. What did I say? The Disney
shit? The Disney shit.
Yeah, the Star Wars stuff. Because they realized people are getting fatigued a little bit. Not that, the enthusiasm is dying down, but they saw, with the Han Solo movie and other things, they're like, I think we're cutting them too many pieces.
Right.
And, we can't build that sort of... critical mass to release every time we put something out, which I think is a good idea.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
The expansion continues because there's a new game show on Disney Plus that's coming out. That's called, what the fuck is it called? Legends of the Jedi fuck
Temple.
Crew?
Legends of the Jedi Temple.
No, it's called the Jedi Star Wars Jedi Temple Challenge, and basically it reads like Legends of the Hidden Temple, that Nickelodeon show, which I would get to an 11 for.
Yeah.
To be honest here.
Yeah, if they remade Legends of the Hidden Temple with modern video game.
Whatever it is.
I mean, that shit was so bad.
Well, my God, yeah. There were some games in there. Well, what was the one game where you went in a video game? That was another one.
Yeah, that's the one that I still watch.
Nick Arcade. That was the one where you in the whack-ass
video game.
Oh, that
wasn't Legends of the Hidden Temple?
No, that's the one that was Olmec and shit, and they were the Blue Barracudas and shit like that.
Yeah.
Blue Barracudas, hey.
I was thinking, Nick Arcade, I can still watch videos of that because...
It captures my childhood imagination.
Yeah, yeah.
But this game is, I don't know, essentially the same thing. Set in a galaxy far, far away, and will test young contestants' abilities in the core Jedi principles of strength, knowledge, and bravery as they face thrilling and fun obstacles in an attempt to achieve the rank of Jedi Knight. Oh. Being hosted by, what's his name? The dude who played Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, really?
Ahmed Best.
Yeah, Ahmed
Great
Best.
Guy.
Yeah.
Love Ahmed.
That's awesome.
And one of the co-hosts is a hilarious humanoid droid companion voiced by Mary Holland.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which will be funny.
Yeah.
But you think, why do they got to reduce her to a droid, though? You know what I mean?
Right.
I guess it's Star Wars.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's an article I was reading about like how like we're constantly making women like sort of these female energies like into robots. And like right. how that's like being like, are we, is this the new thing we're doing? It's like, reduce it to a robot.
Yeah.
Who's the we in this situation?
I think Miles and I. Yeah, me and the development executives at Warner Brothers.
I thought you were saying it was dudes, like all dudes doing this.
Oh, no. I think just in general, like a lot of the like they talk about Darcy Carden's character in A Good Place. Like we're seeing more and more of like these sort of Siri type characters coming out that are just sort of like they're typically played more by women or they come off as feminine.
Is that cross-cultural? Like is the Siri or the Alexa in other countries, like in Japan, a woman's voice? I think so. Yeah.
But now there are so many ways, you know, you can make Siri any voice you want now.
Right.
It's up to you. But the default is...
Yeah.
Do you think some of that comes from no matter how much everyone talked to you when you were in the womb... 100%. Your mom talked to you more.
Yeah.
The voice you've heard more than anything
was...
Yeah.
Your mom said nothing to you?
Right.
No, she was...
Keep it quiet out there.
She took a vow of silence to make sure I came out as balanced as possible.
Yeah.
It was only white noise. No, I don't know. Yeah. Well, I think obviously there's just... there's a connection, I think, biologically in that sense. But yeah. I don't know.
There's probably something about mothering in there.
Mm-hmm.
That we just
because it has to be soothing. If it was like,
yeah.
That album was released in 1988. If it had that,
I'd be like, go on. I'm like, I like this. If it was some dude, I'd be like,
Right.
I don't know what it is. I think we just, we live in a patriarchy. So
it would bother you if it was a dude?
Would bother me. I'm
Michael
just...
Strahan's voice?
Oh, that would be kind of
that would be kind of tight.
Does he have a lisp?
A little bit of a lisp.
Well, they had that for a bit with navigation systems. We're using like Morgan Freeman. I think you get Snoop. You get a few people that could guide you around.
I remember one of the times for like a Terminator, one of them on Waze, it could be Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Right.
I did that.
Yeah.
For sure. I was just laughing. He's like, you're going to turn right. But it didn't have any of the street names. So it's always like, in 300 feet.
Right.
You're going to stop
on,
there.
On that one.
You're going to go there, Dana.
Another piece of Star Wars ephemera, or maybe not. Maybe it's the best thing Star Wars has ever produced. A new ride is opening in Galaxy's Edge, their Disney theme park.
Yeah.
That is the one that people have been talking about since the idea of a Star Wars themed part of the park came up. This is called Rise of the Resistance. It opened to the public yesterday, and... The details, like they say it's basically four different types of rides fused together. It's like a roller coaster, but then you are also interacting with like live actors are like playing, you know, stormtroopers and different characters. So it's like got a, you know, haunted house, Westworld vibe to it. Yep. Where
right up my alley.
Hey,
welcome.
It's your prospector.
What the fuck are you doing here?
I don't know. This review kind of spoils some of the details, but it's like a four-act story, takes 18 minutes to complete.
Yeah.
Which is pretty...
I'm a stormtrooper actor, and I have to reboot every 18 minutes to go, where are we headed, guys?
Yeah. I think they probably
have
multiple.
Go left!
All right, slugger!
And then I take off.
I wonder how long it'll take before you see some of those like stormtrooper actors start phoning in their job. They're like, man, I've been doing this shit for fucking 3 years.
It would fuck this. I can't imagine
just, like,
the worst
hell.
Just
throws his blaster at the crowd. Like, I'm fucking quit!
Right.
The 30th time, and none of you assholes tip! Fuck all of you.
Yeah.
I have a name. I'm just not TK423.
Well, put your helmet back on.
At one point, a stormtrooper's addressing you, and you look to the right, and there's 50 stormtroopers lined up. And, like, they're actually there, but I think they're animatronics, but they have, like, little movements built in.
Oh, that give you
so that
feel?
It makes you think, like, oh, those are actually people standing there. Like, it gives you
See, and then
you
they're taking jobs from
right.
actors.
Yeah. That's real. That's true.
They're taking our fucking jobs. They took our jobs. People start fucking up the robotic stormtroopers.
Kick his ass.
But that goes back to the selling out conversation. That level of bottom end selling out or selling yourself. Like,
right.
Say the AI car or the automated cars have taken over and the Uber app's been downloaded like 50 million times.
Right.
So that's roughly 50 million say conservatively 35 million people that are now don't have that as a means of income. Mm-hmm. And then they go home and like, I got this job as a stormtrooper. I just got to move my elbow a couple
like
times.
A couple of inches.
And someone goes, hey, that's good. Good for you, man. You're doing something.
Right.
That's a terrifying thought that could be extremely real.
Well, I think that is somewhat real already. I think, you know, because the gig economy exists because there aren't necessarily like living wages for people in other places. And you have to have multiple income streams. This would have never happened if the Republic took over here, like from Star Wars. The Rebel Alliance would not have allowed this to happen.
Do you find it like sort of uncanny or like a Black Mirror-y when you're at the grocery store and you see people who are like doing the grocery shopping for like
Like Instacart or something like that?
But like it's weird because it almost feels like they're like a proxy doing the like.
Well, they really are, though.
Yeah. It's kind of, I don't know. That feels weird to me. But
that's why I just, you know, that's why I use Instacart. Right. I just don't want to see that.
I don't want.
Exactly. I just don't want to see
that. Too upsetting.
I just want a knock at my door and have bags and minimal questions or reminders of like what the rest of the world is like.
Or Instacart, make them look happier, okay? They don't look happy enough.
Yeah, a lot
but
of
that'll
bums
be,
me
that's
out.
Why everything surveys everything these days, because quietly someone could fucking do that.
Yeah.
And then some poor, you know, just like, what kind of fucking milk do you want? Beets make milk. All right. And they go to like little beet throwback
there,
guys.
Well, and it just also like, just underlines like this new caste system we have too, where it's like,
it's
you're like, I'm either the person who, on what part of the equation am I in too? And that's when you start seeing like, oh shit, I'm the Instacart orderer.
Yeah.
And then you're like, and then that's another strata or another way of living, sustaining yourself is to do jobs in the gig economy.
That's fully again, optimized, you know, life.
Just grow your own. Just grow your own food.
No downtime.
Yeah, I don't know. I think also I've not really seen. I go to the grocery store pretty late in the day, like at night.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm a night grocer.
Night,
I don't know what it is.
It's kind of nice being
night grocer. Is that Gregory Isaacs? Night nurse.
Oh, I was singing night swimming.
Oh, I was doing Gregory Isaacs.
And that's the difference between you and me, man.
Yep. I'm a Gregory Isaacs kind
of dude. Grocerin, what's your price at night?
We found out everything we need to know about the three of our personalities. David, it's been a pleasure as always having you, man.
Oh, thanks, fellas. Always a joy.
Where can people find you, follow you?
DavidHuntsberger.com. And then I have a streaming animated comedy special called One Headed Beast that's on a bunch of different platforms, the biggest probably being Amazon Prime. And I'm filming a sequel to it here in Los Angeles, January 26th at the Dynasty Typewriter. I would love it if you were there. It's critical to have an audience. That sounds stupid because...
I agree.
But it's not just because, like, well, I want it to look full. There's a premise behind it that involves different realities, et cetera.
Right.
And so one of the realities is like a very full theater. So I need to get those shots. So I'd love to have some people there. So if you haven't come to my monthly variety show I do here in LA called The Junk Show, come out January 26th. I'd love to have you there. I need some support. So get
do
a group.
It, guys.
Come on out.
Yeah.
Be like Sarah, Zeitgang. And come say hello.
Offer him a drink and confuse him.
We'll work on a weird hand signal for people to throw up at each other.
Or dude, just get DZ tatted on like a teardrop.
Right.
You're so really on your face.
Z you're really pushing for people to permanently.
Hell yeah.
Z in sign language is just penciling Z.
Oh, like doing a Zorro Z?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
So if people did that, they go, what do you see a fly or something?
Oh, you wear a Zorro mask. That's how you know. You're Zeitgang.
There you go.
From the neck up, you got to be Zorro. So you got to wear that flat brim cap and a little mask.
And he didn't even have a little thin mustache?
Mustache optional.
Okay.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Joe Zimmerman did one that said, remember when Michael Jordan took a couple years off to play minor league baseball? I'm thinking about also doing that.
That's great. Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. A tweet I like is from Megan Gailey, at Megan Gailey. It says, uh-oh, I'm the woman singing and farting at CVS now.
What?
I don't know why. I don't know what that is. But just picturing somebody singing and farting at CVS
Brings joy to my heart.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Tweet I've been enjoying is, of course, Eva Victor's video that she made, When My Husband Gets Me a Peloton for Christmas, that is just her, you know, recreating that ad, the viral Peloton ad. And it's fucking amazing. Everybody should go check it out. It ends with her divorcing her husband. It's really well performed. She's hilarious. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
Okay, so this the track we're going to ride out on is from a group called Salt, S-A-U-L-T. And the song is called Why. That's five times. You're asking the question why. And it's got like a, you know, it's sort of like the internet vibe, you know, Sid the Kid's band. But for whatever reason, I thought if the Mandalorian was sniffing cocaine, this is what he would be playing in his ship.
Oh, dope.
It's got like, it's I don't know, it's like dystopian-y. Like, I don't know. There's a degraded quality to the sound, but it still has that bump, that bop to it.
Mm.
So, you know, just go Mando it up.
I think that one sentence should be on there.
Hey, man, if the,
Apple,
yeah.
If the Mandalorian was
sniffing cocaine,
sniffing coke, this is
what he's listening to.
The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this week. We will be back this afternoon with what's trending at that moment. But until then, have a good day, and we'll be back on Monday with more podcasts. Talk to you then. Bye.
I know you think about it, how my body makes you feel.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at CedarPoint.com.